Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves on Daf Yud Bet Amud Bet, that's 12b. We are on the second line of the page and just the second word in on the line. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. What we've been talking about in this chapter, the second chapter of Moed Katan, are things that should have been done before the holiday. You wanted to do them before the holiday, but for one or another reason, you weren't able to do them. And so you want to do them on Chol HaMoed. Now, there are a number of possible reasons why you might be able to do something on Chol HaMoed. One reason you might be able to do something on Chol HaMoed is that it's a Davar HaAved. It's something that if you don't do this work, you're going to suffer a loss. Now, you're not allowed to do it if you're just going to, it's going to eat into your profits, but if you're going to suffer a real loss, you're allowed to do it. And this is on the condition that you weren't able to do it beforehand. If you were able to do it before the holiday and you didn't, like let's say you were supposed to cut your hair, as an example, before the holiday and you just didn't because you decided, oh, I'm too busy right now, I'll do it on the holiday, then you're not allowed to. Now, there are possible exceptions to this. For instance, if you are preparing, if you're doing this work for the sake of the moed, that is, you're in this case, we're going to say you're preparing food in order to eat it on the festival itself, so then that's permitted. The assumption is that if you're doing it for today, you couldn't necessarily have done it beforehand, although that's not always necessarily true, as we'll see here with harvesting. And the other reason that you might be able to do it, even if you were able to do the work before the moed, was if you have nothing else to eat. If you have nothing else to eat, so then you have to prepare, you have to do the work that you need to do in order to eat. So here's the situation. Rav Huna, second line, Rav Huna chatzdule chatzde b'moada. Rav Huna arranged to have his fields harvested, so chatzde is a harvest. So he had his non-Jewish laborers harvest his field on the festival. Eit vei Rabba bar Rav Huna l'Rav Huna. Now, Rav Huna's son, Rabba, was there with him, and he saw that his father had arranged to have his fields harvested on Yantif, and he asked him a question. He didn't understand why this was allowed, because Rav Huna had enough food to eat, and he could have arranged to harvest his festival before his field before the festival or after the festival. So the assumption here, and this is what Rashi says, is that this is a davar ha'aved, that if he didn't do it now, he wouldn't be able to do it afterwards. But that doesn't necessarily seem to be the case. But here's what Rav Huna's son quotes to him. He quotes him a braita that says, "Tochanin kemach b'moed, you may grind flour on the holiday, litzorach ha'moed, for the sake of the holiday, if you need the flour on the holiday itself. V'shelo litzorach ha'moed aser, but not for the sake of the holiday, it's forbidden." Davar she'avud b'moed mutar lasot b'moed, something that is the second heter, is something that is going to be cause a loss on the holiday, you're permitted to do it on the moed. Davar she'eino avud b'moed aser, but if it's not going to cause a loss to you, then you can't do it. So far this braita, this anonymous braita, has said two things. If you need it for the festival, you can do it, and if it would cause you a loss, you can do it. B'med varim emurim, on what matters are we referring to here? Meaning this particular leniency has a scope. It only applies in certain situations. Betulushin mina karka. This refers to things that have already been harvested. Aval mechubar lakarka, but if it is connected to the ground. So talush mina karka means you've already harvested, it's disconnected from the ground, cut off from the ground. But if it's still connected to the ground, afilo kulo avud asur, even if it will completely be a loss for you, it's forbidden for you to harvest it. And this is his question, because his father now has hired non-Jews to actually harvest the food, in order to cut it from the ground on the festival. So it's mechubar lekarka, and it should be asur according to this braita. The braita gives one other leniency. Im ein lo ma yochal, if he has nothing to eat, kotzer, he can reap some food, uma'amer, and put it into sheaves, vidash, and thresh it, vizora, and winnow it, uborer, and sort it, vitochein, and grind it, ubilvaj lo yadush beparos, as long as he doesn't do it with cows. And the seeming assumption with this is that there are two limitations here. One is, he's not going to do his whole field. He doesn't have anything to eat, so he should harvest enough food for himself to eat. And also, he should do a shinui. He should make a change. Meaning, ordinarily, you'll harvest your field using the power of animal labor. And here, you shouldn't do it. You should just do it yourself, so that you show that there's a shinui on the holiday. That's the whole braita. The outcome of the braita is that it seems like, according to this braita, that it would not be permitted for Rav Huna to do what he did. So he asks his father, what's the head there? Amar le, Rav Huna says back to him, Yichidahi, that opinion that you just quoted in the braita is a das yachid. It's an outlying opinion. Velos viralan kavate, and we do not hold like him. In other words, all the other sages disagree with this opinion. Ditanya, as we learn in the braita, klal amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said, Mishum Rabbi Yossi, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, davar hatalush min hakarka, an item which is disconnected from the ground, afilu miktzato avud, even if part of it will be cause a loss, meaning we spoke before about the whole thing being lost, but he said even if part of it is going to cause a loss, mutar, then it is permitted. But if it is connected to the ground, afilu kulu avud asur, then even if the whole thing will be a loss, it's forbidden. So that's the same opinion that Rav Huna's son was quoting to him. Here he quotes it in the name of Rabbi Yossi, and he says Rabbi Yossi here is a lone opinion. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi, and therefore I hold like the rabbis that you are allowed to harvest your field even if it is mechubar lakarka, connected to the ground, if it will cause a loss. And since this will cause me a loss, it's permitted for me to do the harvesting on the holiday. Now, there is one thing that's interesting, and it's mentioned in Rashi here and in the Ran, that this opinion of Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the first Mishnah in our tractate. The first Mishnah in our tractate was talking about when you can and can't irrigate your field, and it's when we established the principle that you can do this work when it will be a davar ha'avud, assuming that it's not too much tircha. Now there, we quoted quite a number of opinions. In fact, the Gemara is trying to figure out, the Mishnah itself is a anonymous Mishnah, and the Gemara is trying to figure out who the Mishnah is according to, and it goes through a number of different opinions. It goes through the opinions of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and it goes through the opinion of Rabbi Meir, and the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and it has trouble at the end. It doesn't know whose opinion it is, and it says, Matnitin Aman Tarmia. Who's the Mishnah going to be like? We only have a certain number of opinions. The Mishnah has to be according to one of the opinions. But which opinion is not found there? Rabbi Yossi's opinion. This opinion of Rabbi Yossi that even if it is completely going to be a loss when it's mechubar lakarka, that it's usur, is not discussed in the Gemara, and the Gemara almost doesn't seem to know about it at all. So this may be an additional support for showing that it was such a das yachid that it wasn't even discussed in the sugya. Okay, the Gemara goes on and asks just a tangential question. V'i Rabbi Yossi, but if it is Rabbi Yossi's opinion, Yadush Nami Biparot, then what's the halacha? Why can't he? Well, it's not what's the halacha. It's even how does it make sense internally? Why can't he use cows? We argued that the reason you can't use cows is because you need to make a shinui. However, Rabbi Yossi is the one who says, he's a machlokas with Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi is the one who says you don't need to make a shinui. And this is what we've been talking about in our chapter. Once you are permitted to do the work on the festival, you just do the work the way you ordinarily do it. You don't have to make a shinui. So why would he require you to make a shinui with the cows? So the answer is, Ha Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba. The answer is, according to what Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba says, Man Tana Shinui B'moed B'davar Ha'aved Delo K'Rabbi Yossi. Sorry, this is a continuation of the question. He quotes Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba, who establishes that Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that you do not require a shinui, you do not have to do it in an unusual way. That's Rabbi Yossi. So Omar Lecha, he will say to you, fourth wide line, Hachinami, this still applies, Kevan de kol yoma lav biparotaishi, since it is not the thing that you do all the time or every day to harvest with cows, ha'ina nami lav shinui, then now this way of doing it is also not really shinui. In other words, a shinui is only if there is a standardized, usual way of doing it. And using cows is something that people do sometimes, but not all the time. Therefore, it's not considered to be standard operating procedure. And if it's not really standard universal operating procedure, then doing it a little differently doesn't constitute a shinui. So instead, there must be another reason why Rabbi Yossi didn't want you to use cows. And it does not say it here in the Gemara, so it says it in the commentaries, Rashi mentions it, that it's because of avsha milta, that it's a noisy procedure. It ruins the serenity of Yom Tov. And we have such an issue that you shouldn't do things that that destroy the serenity of Shabbat and Yom Tov. So as a modern example would be in communities where they have, you have landscaping services that come with their lawnmowers and their leaf blowers, and they make lots and lots of noise. You can't enjoy your Yom Tov with all the noise outside your house. So these things too, these are very noisy activities, and that's why he didn't want you to use the cows. Okay, continuing on this topic, Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, now here we have an authoritative braita, Tochenin b'moed l'tzorach ha-moed, you are able, and we mentioned this above, you are able to grind flour on the holiday for the sake of the holiday, if you're going to eat it on the holiday. But if you're doing it for after the holiday, you know, or not for the sake of the holiday, it's forbidden. But here's the big heter. If you ground up a certain amount of flour because you were going to use it on the festival, the hotir, and you had some leftover flour, that's allowed. So now we're going to give a similar example. Kotzitzin etzi b'moed, you may cut wood on the festival, l'tzorach ha-moed, for the sake of the holiday. V'shalo l'tzorach ha-moed, aser. But if you're doing it not for the holiday, then it's forbidden. Same principle. V'im katzatz v'hitir, but if you cut down too much wood and you had leftover, hari ze mutar, then it's permitted. Third case, matilin shechar b'moed, l'tzorach ha-moed, you may brew beer for the holiday, l'tzorach ha-moed, for the sake of drinking beer on the holiday. V'shalo l'tzorach ha-moed aser, but for not for the sake of the holiday, it's forbidden. V'im hitel v'hotir, hari ze mutar. And if you brewed beer and you had extra beer, hari ze mutar, then it's permitted. So here we have a situation where as long as you say you're doing it for the holiday, it's fine. But if you make too much, you can still use it. Now this will naturally lead to the possibility of a subterfuge or of dishonesty. You'll say, oh, I'm making this flour for the sake of the holiday, but you're making some gigantic quantity of flour that obviously you can't use for the holiday, and you're just saying that you're going to do it for the holiday. So the braita ends at the very end, ubavaj lo yarim, but you can't be dishonest. Meaning, yes, you might make more flour than you needed by a little bit, but don't be dishonest and say that you're making it for the holiday when you're not. So that seems to be the principle, that you can use the leftover as long as you're honest about it. However, we have a contradiction with this. Urminhu, I'll bring you a contradiction. Matilin shechar b'moed l'tzorach ha-moed. You may brew beer for the holiday for the sake of the holiday. V'shelo l'tzorach ha-moed aser. But if it's not for the sake of the holiday, it's forbidden. Echad shechar tamarim. This adds in some detail, whether it is the date beer. V'echad shechar se'orim, or barley beer. V'afal pishi yeshlo yashan. Even though he has beer already in his possession, he's got beer that he can drink, but he's going to make new beer. And the suggestion here is that the new beer is better. He's got old beer, but the old beer is like already, you know, it's old beer. So to make new beer, it's better. And we paskin that way. But then he says, "Ma'arim v'shotim min achadash." You can be dishonest or use a subterfuge and say, "I don't really have beer," and then say, "I need to have new beer and drink from the new beer." So here in this particular braita, it seems to suggest that a certain amount of dishonesty is permitted. That's not exactly the same dishonesty. It's not saying I'm going to brew, you know, 1,000 vats of beer, even though I only need to drink 10 over the holiday. But here what it's saying is that you can pretend that you don't have any beer, even if you have old beer, in order to brew new beer. The question is, are you allowed to use ha'arama, the subterfuge, or not? Tanaihi, so we say it's actually not a dispute between two tanaim. Titanya, as we learn in a braita, ein ma'arimin bekach, you're not allowed to use a subterfuge. Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda omer ma'arimin, but Rabbi Yossi says you are allowed, and this is based on a sugya on Shabbos, where there was a chavit shenishbara, you had a barrel of beer that broke. And so it's all going to be wasted. Like you don't have a place to store it anymore. So Rabbi Yossi says you can invite over lots of guests to drink your beer. So you say, oh, I need it for the sake of Shabbos because I have all these guests coming over to drink the beer. But you can invite over the guests even if you know they don't drink beer. So that's your harama. You're allowed to be, you know, you're in theory, if all the guests that you invited over drank the beer, then, you know, that would be fine. But But you know they're not going to drink beer. So there's a certain amount of deception that's going on there just because they could, but they're not going to. Rabbi Yossi allows that. So such a machlokas, some people say that it is possible to use a certain amount of harama. Now that harama, to me, seems more morally plausible than the first harama. Meaning this harama where you're inviting over guests and they could drink beer, you just think they won't. That seems like a more morally plausible harama to me. At least it doesn't, make me feel uncomfortable. The same thing is true with the old beer, because you could always argue that the new beer is better. You want to have the best beer for the holiday. So it doesn't bother me as much. However, the idea of making a much larger quantity of food than you need for the holiday and pretending that you need it for the holiday, for some reason that makes my spider sense tingle a little more, that it seems wrong. Okay, just concluding this sugya, we have a similar story as the story we started with. Rav chatzdule chatzda b'chula de mo'ada. Rav also harvested his field, hired non-Jews to harvest his field on Chol HaMoed, just like the original story we had of Rav Huna. Shama Shmuel. Shmuel heard that Rav had harvested his field. Ikpid, and he got upset. He was angry at, he thought Rav was doing the wrong thing. Lema Shmuel Yichidas Firelei. So why was Shmuel so upset at Rav? Perhaps he held like this opinion of Rabbi Yossi that said that when it's Mechubar Lakarka, this extremely stringent opinion, the Das Yachid, the stringent opinion that if it's Mechubar Lakarka, if it's connected to the ground, then you're not allowed to harvest it on the holiday, even if it's a Davar Ha'aved, even if you're going to suffer a loss. Meaning that opinion of Rabbi Yossi, only Rabbi Yossi held it. Shmuel didn't hold by it. But chatzde dechite hava, he was harvesting wheat. And Shmuel's opinion is de lo have pasi, that does not constitute a loss. In other words, wheat doesn't have to be harvested so precisely on a specific date. Had he waited till the next week, he would not have suffered a loss. That's why Shmuel was upset, because he felt it did not fall into the category of a loss. V'rav mai taima avid hachi, and Rav, if that's true, why did he think it was permitted for him to harvest his field? Ein lo mayocha hava, because he fell under the heter, the leniency, that he didn't have anything to eat, meaning he was out of food, and so he had to harvest his field so that he had something to eat on the holiday, and that's permitted. The only question is whether or not he only harvested the amount he needed to eat, or if he harvested the extra. And if he harvested the extra, was he using the ha'arama, the deception argument? Was he saying that it was possible to harvest his whole field, even though the argument he was making is, I need something to eat for litzora chamoid, for the sake of the festival? But the Gemara flips back to Shmuel. Ushmuel lo siemuha kameh. Perhaps Shmuel didn't finish with him. In other words, he didn't have the whole story, which is so important, when we make opinions about our friends. Like Shmuel heard that he harvested his festival, he knew the basics of the story, and he felt like it was wrong. But he didn't really talk to Rav and get the whole story to realize that Rav didn't have any other food to eat. And had he had a longer conversation with Rav or investigated a little more fully, he would have had enough information to see that it was permitted for Rav. Inami, or else perhaps he had another opinion, Adam Chashu Shaini, which is a conclusion we've come back to a number of times, which is that even though technically it was permitted for Rav to harvest his field, since he was an Adam Chashuv, he's a role model and a leader in the community, he should hold himself to a higher standard, that not everyone might understand the reasons why it's permitted, as Shmuel himself didn't understand so easily, and that he should hold himself to a higher standard, not to give the wrong impression. We'll stop there and continue our next recording. Have a wonderful day.